Welcome to Autogrill's first quarter 2016 financial results presentation.
Good afternoon and welcome to our first quarter 2016 results conference call. Joining me today are Gianmario Tondato, our Group CEO, and Alberto De Vecchi, our Group CFO. As usual, I have to draw your attention to the disclaimer on page 2. All the numbers we will be referring to are on a constant exchange rate basis and are net of the residual U.S. retail portion we sold to World Free in February 2015, unless we say otherwise. Now, I would like to turn the call over to Alberto De Vecchi, who will take you through all the numbers. After the presentation, we will be available to take your question. Thank you.
Thank you, Elisabetta, and good afternoon and welcome to our first quarter 2016 results. The strong performance of this quarter confirms that we are delivering on the commitment we made to our shareholders, that is to say, increasing our sales and increase our EBITDA more in North America, optimize our portfolio of concessions and improve profitability in Europe, and expand our presence in airports in those geographies that show more medium-term potential to grow. Sales in the quarter were up over 8%, of which 4.6% was like-for-like growth. Easter fell in the first quarter this year, while it was in the second last year. We have estimated that Easter and the additional day in February accounted for around 12 million euro equivalent of sales in the quarter, mainly in Europe. What we are extremely pleased about is an increase of over 60% in terms of EBITDA, with an EBITDA margin that improved by 130 basis points. All regions contributed to these very strong results, which I will take you through region by region shortly. Our cash flow reflects the excellent results we have delivered in terms of EBITDA. Indeed, we have a positive net cash from operations of 5 million in a period of the year where cash generation is typically negative. The group's capital structure remains solid and fundamentally unchanged from the end of 2015. The strong progression in profitability and cash flow generation have resulted in lower interest charges, which amounted to 8 million compared to 11 million in the first quarter of last year. As a consequence of the economic and financial results of the quarter, the loss of the period almost halved from 40.4 million in the first quarter 2015 to 23.7 million. Now let me move to the results for each region, starting as usual with North America, where we have continued to win new contracts and deliver solid results, strengthening our leading position in travel F&B in the area. Airport traffic continues to improve, which is good, although maximizing the capture is harder than in the past, as dwell times are tighter due to polarization of flights and the long waiting times to clear security. Still, our like-for-like performance was up over 3% in the quarter, thanks to our commitment to serve our customers faster and more effectively. Total sales in North America airports have grown by over 6%, that is twice the like-for-like growth, thanks to new openings that exceeded closures by 3.2%. EBITDA continues to grow more than sales, thanks to a positive sales mix and an improvement in cost of goods sold. On the contrary, the focus on customer service I mentioned before, as well as the inflationary trend in wages, have resulted in a higher cost of labor. Now, moving to our international business, which has continued to grow in terms of revenue and EBITDA, and still increasing in terms of EBITDA margin. Revenue grew by 46%, driven by the excellent performance in Northern Europe, where new openings accounted for around 25%, and a like-for-like performance of about 21%. In the quarter, we also saw the first contribution from the Dutch railway stations we have entered last year. Our operation in Middle East and Far East performed strongly again, thanks to our broader footprint in Vietnam and Turkey and the strength of our Indian business. The good performance in sales resulted in a significant growth in profitability, with EBITDA margin improving by 50 basis points, thanks to very strong performance at Schiphol, our main airport in the region, and the openings from last year now progressively coming up to speed. We continue to expand our portfolio since the beginning of the year, winning a contract in Abu Dhabi and Doha in Middle East, Beijing in China, and Bergen in Norway. Moving now to continental Europe, our sales in the quarter increased by 4.5%, driven by an organic growth of 3.8% and the net balance of openings and closures positive for around 0.7%. This change in perimeter reflects our expansion in European countries other than Italy and more closures than openings in Italy, where we keep our strategy of selecting point of sales to enhance cash flow generation instead of focusing on the size of the business overall. The sales performance in Italy was sustained by the main channel, motorways, where like-for-like sales grew by close to 5%, with F&B sales growing by 5.7%. This is thanks to a good trend of the traffic, especially in the first part of the quarter. Traffic and sales in the quarter were helped by the mentioned extra day in February and the early position of Easter. We estimate the impact in Italy to be around 6 million euro of additional sales. The flow-through on incremental sales, the positive income of the processes that we have put in place in product manufacturing and delivery, and the higher flexibility provided by the new labor contracts, altogether contributed to the complete reversal of EBITDA in Italy, from a negative of over 2.3 million in first quarter 2015 to a positive of 2.7 million in this quarter. Motorways performed well also in the other European countries, with sales up over 5%, mainly thanks to France and Spain, driven by strong traffic. Airports also performed in the region, growing over 16%. Main contributor to this growth of our sales in the European airport, other than Italy, was our expanded presence in Geneva Airport. As you know, we are present also at Brussels Airport, which was the scene of the terrorist attacks of the 22nd of March. Due to the timing of the attacks, you do not see yet any material effect in this quarter. In the week following the attacks and after the closing of the quarter, we have seen a growing impact, and now we are taking actions to minimize it. For the other European countries, we estimate an impact of the leap year and the early Easter of about 4 million in terms of revenues. The positive trend in sales reflected in an improvement in EBITDA, which still remains negative due to the seasonality that is particularly strong in this region, but the temporary loss is halved to 2.5 million compared to last year. So what have we seen since the end of the quarter? As of week 17, sales are up over 4%, with both North America and international performing well. To note that the strong performance of international is partially softened by the gradual full deployment of the new openings over the past month. In Europe, we have seen growth of just under 1%, a slowdown compared to the first quarter, due in part to when Easter was this year and to the situation in Brussels. Now, we would like to give you our guidance for 2016. That we calculated based on an exchange rate of $1.1 per euro. Revenue between 4.5 billion to 4.6 billion euro, compared to around 4.3 billion we delivered in 2015. EBITDA between 400 million euro and 415 million euro, compared to 376 million in 2015, and CapEx remaining in line with past spend at about 5% of revenue. The guidance is based on the following assumptions. Good progress in North America and international, backed by healthy traffic growth and by a number of openings in pipeline. Stable sales in Europe, where like-for-like growth should balance the expected drop in Belgium and the potential change in perimeter resulting from the ongoing renewal process on Italian motorways. The range shown in our guidance on EBITDA mirrors the operating leverage resulting from increasing revenue and improving cost of goods sold. CapEx is generally the item which is more difficult to predict on the short term, given the fact that we also depend on landlords on the timing of our investment. Having said that, we think that the indication given in the guidance may provide you with a fair estimate of the engagement we may expect in the year. Thank you very much for your attention, and we will be pleased now to answer any questions you might have.
The Q&A session is now open. You can register for your question by dialing star followed by one. To cancel your reservation, dial star followed by two. First, today's question comes from Mr. Jaafar Mestari of J.P. Morgan. Mr. Mestari, please.
Hi, good afternoon, everyone. I had just two questions, please. The first one is on the renewals on Italian motorways. There's no news in this release. I think you said last time that you expected the results to be announced towards the summer. Would you confirm that timing at this stage? Also, because traffic seems to be getting a little bit better, can you remind us when you submitted the bids, and what sort of traffic assumption you had at the time, and are you actually looking at a better environment now? My second question is on new business, where you're showing net contract gains adding 3.7% to revenue in Q1. If I take the contracts that you've announced over the past year, add them together, it looks like the backlog of new business that you have is sort of in line with that, maybe 3.5% of revenue. I was wondering how you managed to have such a good conversion from the contract wins to the effective openings, because if I listen to peers, very often this takes several years to ramp up, or maybe there are losses on top of that, but they don't seem to be opening as fast as they win. Can you maybe detail a little bit what's driving that?
I start answering to your last question, that is the one related to the quick conversion, and then Gian Mario will take you through the renewal process in Italy. I think that obviously I cannot compare the how effective the others are compared to us, but I think that we have an advantage because some of the wins are in fact new positions in airports that we have been already, so that we know very well, we know the flows, and we can, to some extent, be very quick in revamping stores. I think that this is an advantage. A significant portion of this positive balance in between opening and closures is in fact in North America, where we have a very large footprint. I think that this is an advantage for us. At least this is a general understanding.
Talking about the Italian motorways renewals, what I can tell you is that so far, right now we are, I think, just on the top of my head, in the middle of the process. Basically, we are at 50% of the process, and it's a very different process of what we've seen in the last decade, because this process involves many landlords. Atlantia is probably, roughly speaking, 40% or 50% of of the network that is now for renewal, and the rest are small operators, bigger operators, I mean, Gavio Group, Brescia Padova, I mean, many names. So it's very granular, and it's very different also. The bids, the RFP are guided by the Italian Minister of Infrastructure, but they are quite different. So it's a long process. And as I told you many times before, that's what I can tell you. You know, of course, we have our internal view of what we're gonna do, but I can't. You know, I think you can appreciate. You know, that I can't tell you what we are doing right now. You know, in terms of bidding strategy, you know, because the process is still ongoing. My guess is that by the summer we're gonna know more or less everything, so the landscape would be quite solid, and also we can, I think next time that we have a call, we can be more precise. There are a lot of interest, you know, from some Italian competitors, you know, because the perception is that the traffic or the economy, let's say, in a much broader way, is doing better now than 2 years ago. And that's basically what I can tell you. And
if I can add one last comment with respect to a second part of your question, this first question, is that the situation at the moment is not that we have already submitted all the offers maybe months ago and we're waiting for the lender to evaluate. So in fact, we are still submitting offers, and obviously in these cases we can reflect the new conditions also in terms of traffic. So it is not that we took an assumption and then we presented all the offers in the same time. It is a process that is ongoing. So we are adapting, considering the present situation.
Okay, that's very helpful. Thank you.
Next question comes from Mr. Tim Ramsky of Credit Suisse. Mr. Ramsky, please.
Thank you. I have three questions, please. The first is, I just wonder if you could spend a bit more time going through the growth trends in the international business. Obviously very strong both in terms of the new business and the like-for-like. So maybe you can just share with us what's driving the like-for-like piece, whether that's traffic or pricing, just some sense. And maybe also, given the 40% growth rate at the start of the year, just some indications of how you expect that to evolve during the rest of the year. Secondly, just in terms of the guidance, and really I suppose on the back of a very strong first quarter, just interested to sort of hear to what extent you think Brussels has had some impact, so what might the guidance have been if it hadn't been for that, and maybe perhaps just some discussion about what you've assumed in Europe in terms of a normalisation of trends in European airports. And then the final question is just... Chicago, just is there anything else to say at this stage in terms of what you're expecting in terms of renewal process, or are we still waiting? Thanks.
Excuse me, can you repeat the second question, please?
Yeah, so the second question was you had a very strong first quarter, but obviously your guidance has had to reflect the impact of the terrorist attacks in Brussels. Just some sense as to how much that's impacted your guidance and what you're assuming in terms of trends in European airports through the rest of the year.
Let's talk about Brussels. You know, it's it's a sad situation, unfortunately, but it's starting with your second question. Just give you some numbers and some dates. You know, the 22nd of March, from the 22nd of March to the 2nd of April, the airport was shut down. And from the 3rd of April, the airport was open, but with very few flights, you know. And from the 2nd of May, the flights were almost 80% of the normal traffic. But the problem is, you know, we're talking about aviation. We don't have actual information, fresh information on passengers, you know. And for the one that have been through the airport, you know, it takes... forever to go through security. It's highly patrolled, and it takes 3-4 hours, you know, to fly to go through the airport. Talking about our operations in Brussels, you know, the 4th of April, our first toll will reopen, and the 6th of April, I'm just throwing dates, but we had something like 14 stores reopened, and the 2nd of May, all the stores on Lamside were partially reopened, you know. But still, we have a lot to do, and there are a lot of reconstruction, and the area ticket, of course, there is destroyed, and so it's quite a complicated situation. I'm trying to describe, you know, the situation right now. So, of course, this is an impact that is not in the, in our first quarter, but it's because it happens the last few days, you know, the first coup. And it's something that we are experiencing now. What are we doing now with our people? And I strongly believe, I've been personally through the 2001 September 11th attack. It was much, much worse. But and what we are doing is basically doing what we did at the time, you know. So we are taking our workforce, trying to keep all the people, because we believe, you know, the business is going to be back hopefully very soon, relocate these people in other channels and try to survive, you know, to this unknown and uncertain situation. Again, that's what I can tell you. And if you want, I can tell you the numbers of that we were making in 2015 in this airport. We were making something like 55 million of sales and an 8% store cash flow, you know, so it's an important operation for us. On the other hand, I have to say, you know, for instance, an airport like Schiphol is for sure having a little bit more traffic, or other airports in our network are performing better because of some of the traffic that has been moved to. But this is a situation that is difficult to judge. You know, it's a difficult situation right now, frankly speaking.
So, on the contrary, answering to questions about more color about the growth in the international business that is not generated by new contracts won, I think that in the first quarter at least we have continued to see a very strong performance of the main airport in the region, that is Schiphol. That has been growing in the last 2 years, also in terms of traffic, more than 10%. And so we are following this important growth, adding new concept and developing the business together with the expansion of the airport. And then we have been particularly successful in Vietnam, where we are very strong in all the airports of the country, in the other two countries in which we have done particularly good numbers are India, that although the base is not very big, the growth is really very important, and the last one is Turkey. In Turkey, we have very good performance in Sabiha Gökçen, that is the second airport in Istanbul so far before the building of the first very big one, and these are the main contributors to this like-for-like growth.
Sorry. Last question: in Chicago, there are no news.
Okay, fine, fair enough. Okay, thanks for your help. Thank you.
Next question comes from Ms. Rebecca McCallum of Santander. Ms. McCallum, please.
Yes, good afternoon, everybody. I've got a couple of questions, please. Firstly, just in terms of the gross margin and the sort of cost of sales trajectory, you had a strong performance in the first quarter. Do you think that the sort of dynamics are set up for that improvement to continue in the foreseeable future? And then my second question is about labour costs, and in particular in the US, I think there's some pressure on minimum wage in the industries. How are you seeing that?
Excuse me, the line is not very good. Can you repeat the question, please?
Yeah, sorry. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yeah. So my first question is on the gross margin and the cost of sales. You've had a good first quarter. How do you see the outlook vis-a-vis the favorable sales mix etc., do you expect a positive sort of dynamic to continue going forward at the gross margin? And secondly, I was asking about labour costs in the United States and pressure on minimum wage and what you're seeing there, please.
Let's start with the last one. The minimum wage pressure is something that has been growing in the business, you know, for quite a while. And it's not only minimum wage, is also the cost of the insurance, and so that's something that is there, you know, is growing. It depends a lot on for sure there is a general trend, you know, on the country, but it depends a lot also on the airport by airport and basically state by state. It's very different, the approach that you have. So it takes one day to explain you the different nuances probably that you have from California to another state. You know, it's complicated. But generally speaking, we can say that this is a trend. And
on the question about the contribution by the gross margin, I think that we have seen this good performance a bit all across the board. So we have good numbers in general, especially in North America. And in North America, the determinants are the fact that on one hand, it is an issue of sales mix. As we told in also in other occasions, this local concept is difficult because we have to make many learning curve on the concept. But on the other hand, is taking the market toward an increasing the average ticket. So ultimately, to have a better gross margin. So if you you see better gross margin and possibly a bit less of productivity because of the fact that you are managing more complicated concepts. Then the other element that allows us to make a nice improvement in terms of the gross margin is at the moment the decline of certain raw material prices that allows us to improve margins. So these are the two main elements.
Thank you.
Next question comes from Mr. Stefano Lustig of Equita. Mr. Lustig, please.
Good afternoon, and congratulations for the strong results. My question is, again, on margins and labor costs. If I look at the slide 22, we see that for the group as a whole, there has been a material positive contribution from the labor cost. So as the main area for you is North America, and you mentioned, which is obvious, that there was a pressure there. I wonder what other elements reversed, let's say, at the group level, the performance, and also try to understand if there was something, let's say, occasional or something that can be confirmed in the following quarters. Thank you.
Yes, it's an interesting question. Thank you. Oh, let me expand on that, you know, because it looks like it's an interesting subject. North America, again, there is this trend, as I said before, you know, we are positioned, in my opinion, already in this trend, because, you know, to give you a drop of my head, I would say we are 65-70% already unionized. It's an historical situation for us in the U.S. So I think there are other companies that have, in this situation of minimum wage or push on labor, you know, they do have a much worse potential damage in their P&L than us. You know. Moving to Europe, I would like to underline one thing. We talk about always the component of the P&L, but one of the things that we should look at in this day, in this quarter is, you know, that the like-for-like sales growth, for instance, in a country like Italy, you know, is around more than 4%. You know. So it means that, there is a strong operation-driven P&L, and this is also a very positive flow-through. So for this reason, the labor cost also is less expensive, let's say, in our P&L in it. In addition to that, there is, and is part of this situation, and there is the thing that we don't talk anymore about, that is the SP1. We are plugging in really into our organization this new model. So you see, my opinion, good top line growth, you know, in the like for like situation in Italy, and in addition to that, also of course a better flow through, and that's, you know, the tight cost of labor, you know, also has been deployed in Europe. So there is a cost control and a productivity control approach that is very strong, you know, for sure, in our company at least in this quarter. And again, in one mantra, I can say we are back to basics. You know, we are focusing really in performing our existing network. That's the most important thing.
Thank you.
And detail on your question, you ask if there is some one-off in this improvement in the labor cost. As you see in our press release, last year we had $2.8 million, that is approximately $2.5 million of redundancy cost for a reorganization program that wasn't anymore there. That means that if you took out this impact, the improvement in labor cost, I can estimate that is that would have been improved instead of 80 basis points, 60 basis points.
Thank you very much. Very clear.
No question at the moment. I'd like to remind you that if you want to register for your question, you can press star followed by one. Next question comes from Mr. Stefano Lustig of Equita. Mr. Lustig, please.
No, I had one question. So, if possible, if you can comment your performance in North America airports, comparing it to traffic, if possible. So, if you perceived some sort of overperformance, underperformance versus the traffic flows, please.
Unfortunately, at the moment, it's difficult for us to give you that comparison because the panel of airports that was formerly giving the indication of the overall traffic has disbanded. So at the moment, there are other indications, but it is not an indication for the whole network. And unfortunately, if you have to wait the government data, they arrive very late. That's why we didn't put in the information in the package, because we don't have the information as we had in the past, so timely, in order to give you almost immediately the trend. As we said, our perception is that the situation has not changed compared to last year, or to some extent is even worsened because of the situation of the security controls. There's been a lot of discussion on the press on the subject with the very long queues that ultimately result in the fact that people stay less in the area where we can extract more value, that is in the air zone of an airport. So in principle, I think that it is still a bit more difficult than in the past to capture the traffic. That's why we are trying to enhance our ability to serve the customer very quickly, because they have less time than in the past.
Thank you very much.
No questions.
Thank you very much for your attention and have a nice evening.
Ladies and gentlemen, the conference is over. Thank you for calling.